You're listening to a podcast presentation of Hillside Foursquare Church in Reno, Nevada.
I want to welcome you back towards a seat or a couch or wherever you happen to be this morning. The song that was just playing in the background here, I don't know if you happen to hear it, was Who the Sun Sets Free is Free Indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. And whenever I hear that song, of course, I'm transported to interactions with my granddaughter, Amelia, who happens to go by 3 million nicknames, among them Mila and Mimi. And Mimi is still learning how to process. She's got an incredible vocabulary, but sometimes, you know, her version of that song is, she's a child of God, yam I am. And so whenever I hear that song, I'm thinking, yam I am. And there's times when I've been reading through scripture since she started saying this, and I'll read something that says, this is who you are, this is your identity in Christ. And in my head, I do that, yam I am. It's a good reminder to feed ourselves good thoughts. So we're going to be in a series over these next several weeks called Anamkara, which is soul friendship. It's a concept we first heard about as a church last January, January 19th, 2020, which was the 20-year anniversary of Jonah and I being at Hillside. My spiritual advisor, David Pinkson, was with us, and he shared the idea of soul friendship, where we engage in our relationship with God, with each other, and with ourselves, with the idea that we're going to be doing everything we can to be bringing glory to God in each of those relationships. And it tied really well, I thought, with the Emotionally Healthy Spirituality series that we just finished, especially when it comes to the words that they like to use to describe what they're doing. It's called the rule of life, or how then shall we live? And as we head into this series on soul friendship, over these next couple of weeks, these next three after today, we're going to be talking about the three types of relationships that we all need to have in order to function well in the life that we live, but also interact with each other. And it's not just for our mental and emotional health, but it really for our ability to be relationally independent and strong, but at the same time, interdependent. And those are mutual relationships, which are 50-50 relationships. That also includes serving relationships, where we are giving without expecting to receive. And then there's also healing relationships, where we would engage with someone with the intent of them drawing out of us the junk that's in there. We can process and allow God to bring healing and transformation to it. So I've titled today's message, Live Your Best Life. And I don't know what kind of images pop into your head when you think about the phrase, live your best life. But the one that immediately comes to my mind is one that my grandson Owen uses or was described. He spends the night most of the time on Wednesday nights at our house. And when he comes to Grandma and Pop's house, don't tell his parents, he gets to do things he can't normally do at home. And in part of it, he's got a big brother, but at our house, he doesn't have a big brother, it's just him. So I can remember coming downstairs in the morning, and Owen's already down there, and Graham has fixed him hot cocoa because Graham gives him whatever he wants whenever he wants it. He's sitting at the counter, and he's got his iPad, and he's watching his YouTube video that he likes to watch. He's got his Fruity Pebbles. He's got his Sucky, his Binky that he likes to have. He has it. Why does he have it? He doesn't need it. He just likes to have it. He gets to have it at Grandma Pop's. And then he's got his feet up on the counter. And so he's kind of leaning back, and he's watching his YouTube, and he's drinking his coffee or his cocoa, and he's got his Fruity Pebbles. He's got his Sucky when he wants it, and he's leaning back. And take a picture of that and send it to his parents. It's like, Owen's living his best life. That's the picture we often get. Maybe not with Fruity Pebbles and a Sucky, but you get it. The idea, it's almost indulgent, and it's like a living a perfect day. And when I'm talking about God calls us to live our best life, I'm not talking about just one that has to do with everything that we love and that we would find enjoyable and fulfilling. I'm talking about how we're living the best life we can live that brings glory and honor to Him, that's also incredibly fulfilling to us. I grew up on public television, and I know we had cable at various points when I was a kid, but one of my favorite things to do would be to turn on Channel 5, PBS, local station, and I would watch the Bundesliga, which is a way of saying the German World Soccer League, and I'd love to watch them play. It's where I developed my first real love for Frankfurt, Germany, and the British announcer who would inevitably be mispronouncing, now that I know how to pronounce them, mispronouncing these names, but it was a lot of fun to watch. But there was another show that I loved to watch on PBS, and I hope you will indulge me. I'm going to invite you drop the lights back there, and then also if you could go ahead and play this video.
You It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? It's a neighborly day in this beauty wood, a neighborly day for a beauty. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? I have always wanted to have a neighbor just like you. I've always wanted to live in a neighborhood with you. So let's make the most of this beautiful day, beautiful day. Since we're together, we might as well say, would you be mine? Could you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor? Won't you please? Won't you please? Please, won't you be my neighbor?
So, I don't know if any of you happened to watch Mr. Rogers anytime growing up. Anybody in this room, you were Mr. Rogers at all? Okay, there's several of us. I would say we're 80%. How many of you are familiar with Mr. Rogers in some way, shape, or form? Okay, I used to love to watch Mr. Rogers because he would talk to us, talk to me, talk to my brothers, like we were people. And he didn't talk to us like we were little kids. And he talked about, looking back, incredibly complex thoughts and themes about feelings and emotions and value and being with people and treating people kindly. And it's not until I look back upon Mr. Rogers' life with the lens of 30 to 40, 50 years worth of experience to see just how profound he was. And there's a lot of background information. And the last few years, our society has really emphasized and has put a spotlight on Fred Rogers' life. And I don't think it's necessarily out of a cynicism. It's more recognizing in a time of incredible cynicism and negativity and partisanship and antagonism towards each other, we kind of yearn for a time when there was someone who had very intentionally and on purpose expressed love and care while talking about very hard things for everyone. This kind of love and care that goes beyond circumstance. It's simply because you are who you are, and I like you just the way that you are. And it was a great picture of how God engages with us. And it's not like God engages with us and says, I like you just the way that you are, so it's not that you never have to change. No, God meets us where we are so he can lead us and guide us towards transformation. Mr. Rogers is a great picture of that. But in this year of 2020, I discovered a podcast called Finding Fred, and it's a 10-part podcast about people who've been impacted and influenced by Mr. Rogers in their life. And then the other night we watched A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, which stars Tom Hanks. Talk about perfect casting for Mr. Rogers, yes? And just a really good movie. But it made me think about the kind of things that Mr. Rogers, who is an ordained Presbyterian minister, his purpose was to engage the world, and especially kids, to spread kindness, care, and empathy through the media. That was what he was commissioned to do. While I have been ordained and placed in this congregation as the pastor of this congregation, the church that he was basically licensed and ordained through said, you are going to be ordained to spread kindness, empathy, and care through the media. And it's an incredible thing to see exactly how that ended up working out. And I think in watching that, and you know, part of it being a history nerd, watching A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, listening to the podcast, and I've done a little bit of reflecting, watched a couple old Mr. Rogers episodes, and you know, we can look at it and say they're corny and his puppets were kind of dorky, but he was sincere, and it was what he was doing was real. He was not faking it, and there was something of a genuine care that when he was in your presence, he made you feel. The thing over and over people say is he made you feel like it was the most important conversation he could have. And I don't know about you, if you've ever had a conversation with somebody and they're looking at you and then they're kind of checking out the rest of the room to kind of see if there's anybody else more interesting to talk to. It's my least favorite thing in the world because it's like, hey, I'm right here type of a thing. If we can give the gift of our presence to another individual and try to engage, you know, for some, eye contact is a painful thing. I recognize this. But there's also where we can be in a situation where we're not able to be present with what we're currently doing and we're looking for the next thing. And that type of looking forward gets in the way of the very thing that God wants to do in front of us with individuals. And so as we're looking at 2021, kind of keeping Mr. Rogers in mind and his kindness and his empathy, I'm looking to see what is it that we can learn from the scripture, what God's talking to us about, the theme that Foursquare has for this year, which is Jesus makes all things new. And our theme at Hillside, which flows with that, says God is doing a new thing. And in 2021, one of the things that we're looking to do is to live on purpose with purpose. And I am taken back to a man who's a friend of mine, a German man. His name is Johannes Lavelli. And there was a point where I lived in such a way that when something would happen, I would always respond based upon my immediate feelings when that thing would happen. And if it was something that was good, the response you would get from me was a positive one. But if there was something that pushed my buttons, I was a slave to my responses and a slave to my reactions. And so when something would happen, I would feel it was inevitable for me to respond in a way that was however I felt, which you could say I was living very authentically, but I was also living in a way that was very volatile and very unpredictable, and the kind of life that would cause people to go running from me versus or be walking on eggshells to try and let's not try and set that off. It never occurred to me that I had the opportunity to choose something different. Well, Joni and I were in Germany, and she did something. She just, you know how she is. Okay, I know it was me. But she did something and it antagonized me. And it just so happened that we were with our entire team that was on this mission. There's 25 people or so. We're eating this incredible, this place called the Bistro Shine, which is down at the end of the street where our sister church, Treffpunktleben, was. And we're sitting outside and we're eating dinner, which is phenomenal flatbreads with great meats inside. And Joni does something. It was so important and significant, I can't even remember what it was. But I was so antagonized. And I can remember Joni's crying and then other people trying to figure out what's going on, and nobody's going to understand this because for whatever reason, whenever Joni does something, I get mad. People don't take my side, and they never did. And it was more of a, maybe this is a Louis issue, but I didn't want to talk about that. I'd more like to talk about the areas that antagonize. It's like, you made me do this. And I can remember Johannes just kind of pulling me aside and just kind of standing there. And he said, what's the matter? And I said, well, I don't want to get into this with you because I don't want everybody to know I'm angry. He says, well, everyone already knows because they can see your face. I was like, okay. Well, something happened and it made me upset. And he says, interesting. That's your choice, you know. And I said, shut up, Johannes. You know, you're doing it now too. And the response, he's saying, it's your choice. Yeah, no, I don't want to hear that. I'm responding. I'm doing my best to have self-control right now. I'd like to be commended, not told I could do better, like by choosing something different. And he says, no, you can act however you want, but you know, it's your choice. And I don't know if you've ever had somebody say something to you, even in passing like that, and it just kind of settles deep inside your gut and doesn't leave. And then there would be, like later on, Joni would do something again. Something would happen that was less than optimal. And as it starts to rise up, and I start to respond because that's what you do. When you feel it rise up, there's no choice but to let it out and to give full vent to whatever, right? Don't quote scripture to me here. Stop. Then what I would immediately hear and see in my head is Johannes kind of standing there. If you've ever seen old black and white TV show with Jack Benny, the Jack Benny show, Johannes would kind of stand like Jack Benny would. It's your choice. And I would hear, it's your choice. And it made me so mad because in that moment, I realized that there was truth. And as much as I wanted to just say, no, I cannot get away from this as a reaction. I can't stop the reaction. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. People do this. Louis does that. That's just how it works. It's like this. And then I hear this, oh, it's your choice. And I realized the Holy Spirit was talking through my friend to challenge me to a new way of life, to live on purpose so that I cannot be sidetracked simply by somebody throwing me a curveball in life or by things not going perfectly. I was so sure that my reacting and responding were just had to happen that I was missing out on the fact that I could take the thoughts and feelings captive and decide what I was going to do with them. And so I wrestled with it. In I mentioned a minute ago, the theme for the year for Foursquare is, behold, I'm making all things new, or Jesus makes all things new. It's in Revelation chapter 21, and it really refers to a time when Jesus has come back, and he's fought the fight against the enemy, and the enemy's been defeated, and the great white throne judgment has taken place, and the devil's been thrown into the lake of fire, booyah, and we're now, time is going to be restored to what God initially intended. God says, I'm going to make all things new. And that's a promise for what's coming in the future, but it's also a promise for something that's happening today. It's not perfect, and it won't happen today like it will happen then, but we will see a foreshadowing or a hinting about what that looks like. And so as we're looking through and we're wrestling through the idea of living on purpose, in many ways we're looking to say, okay, Lord, what does it look like for me to live on purpose as you make things new in, around, and through my life? And these are a few of the things when we're talking about living our best life that I felt prompted to share with you, to share with us as Hillsiders, on what we can do to live our best life and to allow God to be making all things new inside of us. So the first question I would ask you is, what is it that you're trying to do? What is it that you want to see happen? What are your goals? And I'm not talking necessarily even about resolutions, but what is it that you're attempting to do? Because the best thing that we can do in our relationship with Jesus is to be intentional. I want to do this, therefore I'm going to do that. It's easier to see, you know, this last year, I've heard many, many stories, and one of my favorites is from my friend Tim. As Tim shares, you know, I'd done everything I knew how to do with working out and food for years, and I just decided I'm going to go to a coach, our very own Carmel Davis. I'm going to go to her, and I'm going to have her coach me with exercise and with food. And he says, in this year, I've seen myself become the healthiest version of myself because I said, I want to get healthy. I want to lose weight. I want to do this, this, and this. And so I'm going to do these things. The intent was to make these changes. And in order to make these changes and see these results, there had to be a shift here. And we can think about that when it comes to the gym or to fitness and working out. But what do we want to do in our relationship with Jesus and interaction with other people? God called us to be intentional, to set intentions on how we want to live and how we want to be. And, you know, part of it is a little bit of introspection and reflection with the Holy Spirit saying, what are the things that I want to be true in me by the power of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit working in me? There's many things that are just instructions given in Scripture about kindness and empathy and compassion and care and thinking of others that we don't even have to pray about. And this idea of setting an intention, it's not something weird like we can control our life. It's simply more of a, my goal is to do this. I want to do that. One example, if you want to be a person who reads more books in 2021 than you read in 2020, I would encourage you, number one, to make a list of the books you want to read and or to talk to someone. Step two, I'd encourage you to get the books. So you have the books. It's much easier to say, I want to read books if you have the books with you. And you can say, okay, I'm going to do this. Because you never know when there's going to be times you can take at the time to sit, and even if it's 10 to 15 minutes, reading the book. If you have an intention to do something, there are actions that are going to back that up. So for us is to be intentional, to choose to bring glory to God in the way that we live. Let's go ahead and start with our scriptures. We're going to be opening up in Philippians 1, 9. From here, we're going to go to Ephesians, then to Matthew, and then to Colossians. So Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, Paul the Apostle writes to the church at Philippi these things. This is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best, may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 14 says, everything we're doing for the praise of God's glory. Everything we do, we're doing for the glory of God. Paul's prayer is that we would have discernment and insight to be able to live our lives pure and blameless before God, righteousness in Christ, and that we would be willing to grow towards recognizing everything we do already points to God, so everything we do is to bring glory to Him. What does this look like for us? In many ways, it's simply saying, no matter what it is I'm doing, whether I'm making my bed, whether I'm going to my job or doing my job at home, I'm interacting with someone else, I want people to be able to point to Jesus in me. One of the things that jumped out at me about immersing myself in the world of Fred Rogers, in 2020 was he was an ordained pastor, but he didn't preach the scriptures by the words that he said. Instead, the message of the gospel was left for him to share in non-churchy words and in actions that he shared with people. So he was able to point to the fact that there is a God and that it has an effect on his life and the way that he acts towards people simply by the way that he lived. And one of my favorite things about the Finding Fred podcast is they interview people from all walks of life, and the vast majority would come from a even admittedly anti or skeptical towards Christian outlook. And yet universally, they look to a person like Fred Rogers and say, this is a man who made me feel like I was the most important person in the world when he would talk to me, and that what happened with me actually mattered. And it was what I believe the Christ-likeness that we got to see with Jesus being worked out in his life. We don't have to be preaching scripture at people for them to see Jesus Christ in us. We simply have to love them in the way that God loves them, and to care for people, and to show concern, and to be present with people. That's especially significant in a time where we're often physically distanced and where we don't get to interact with people. And some of the times we're not interacting with them. Maybe it's out of a desire for health protection, whatever it happens to be. It makes our interactions with people that much more significant when we actually do go out in the world and get to mix with them, to recognize we're living for the praise of God's glory. So, next scripture, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32. Paul says to the Ephesians, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. This goes back way before verse 31, but you get the gist of it. In order for us to live for the glory of God and to actually reflect Christ, we have to get rid of some things too. To get rid of the malice and the junk and the anger and the frustration and all that stuff, we have to get rid of it so that there is room, and what comes out of our life is not going to be responding from the junk. It's going to be living from that love and the care that God has placed inside each one of us. He calls us to be kind to each other. Kindness is a word that means love in action. Let your love be active towards each other. Be compassionate. Be empathetic. Show you care about what's happening to other people. Put yourself in their shoes to see what it may feel like, to what they're going through, so you can empathize with them. And then forgive each other like God forgives us in Christ. One of the things that was a Mr. Rogers saying, he had three keys that would help people achieve ultimate success in life. And whenever you offer up a number with sort of like, here, this is where this is going to go, this is what it's going to lead to, inevitably people will kind of sit forward and say, okay, what are the three secrets? Tell me what they are. You know, what are the seven ways to, you know, change your life in 2021 using, you know, 10 seconds a day? We want the quick fix. People sit forward, listen to Mr. Rogers, and he says, the three steps that lead towards ultimate success are, number one, be kind. Number two, be kind. Number three, want to guess? Be kind. Be kind. It's God's kindness that draws us to repentance. And it's God's kindness in us and through us that draws people to Jesus. There is nothing more powerful than forgiveness. And when we will extend forgiveness, it's not because people have earned it or maybe even that they've even asked for it. When we extend forgiveness in the same way Christ forgives me, we are doing something that flies directly in the face of the wisdom of this world. Forgiveness is not saying what happened to me is okay. It is saying, this is a fact that I'm turning this over to Christ to handle. I cannot mete out justice or judgment in a way that is going to be godly. Therefore, I turn this over and I forgive like Christ forgave me. There's something about kindness and compassion we can think about and wrestle through. What does this look like lived out? And one of the great discoveries that I came across a few years ago, she's becoming incredibly significant in our world today, is a woman named Brené Brown. And there's a video on empathy that I'd like to show you that talks about just a couple of ways we can put ourselves in other people's shoes and just even and to sit in the awkwardness of the pain that they're in without trying to make it better by at leasting them. We'll see this in just a second. Let's go ahead and take the light down and let's take a look at this video.
So what is empathy and why is it very different than sympathy? Empathy fuels connection. Sympathy drives disconnection. Empathy, it's very interesting. Teresa Wiseman is a nursing scholar who studied professions, very diverse professions where empathy is relevant, and came up with four qualities of empathy. Perspective taking, the ability to take the perspective of another person or recognize their perspective as their truth. Staying out of judgment, not easy when you enjoy it as much as most of us do. Recognizing emotion in other people and then communicating that. Empathy is feeling with people. And to me, I always think of empathy as this kind of sacred space when someone's kind of in a deep hole and they shout out from the bottom and they say, I'm stuck, it's dark, I'm overwhelmed. And then we look and we say, hey, you climb down. I know what it's like down here. And you're not alone. Sympathy is, ooh, it's bad, uh-huh. No. You want a sandwich? Empathy is a choice, and it's a vulnerable choice, because in order to connect with you, I have to connect with something in myself that knows that feeling. Rarely, if ever, does an empathic response begin with at least. And we do it all the time. Because you know what? Someone just shared something with us that's incredibly painful, and we're trying to silver lining it. I don't think that's a verb, but I'm using it as one. We're trying to put the silver lining around it. So I had a miscarriage. Oh, at least you know you can get pregnant. I think my marriage is falling apart. At least you have a marriage. John's getting kicked out of school. At least Sarah is an A student. But one of the things we do sometimes in the face of very difficult conversations is we try to make things better. If I share something with you that's very difficult, I'd rather you say, I don't even know what to say right now. I'm just so glad you told me. Because the truth is, rarely can a response make something better. What makes something better is connection.
I don't know if we're hardwired to immediately go to the at leasts to deal with our own discomfort, but usually when those things are popping up, it's because we feel uncomfortable at the intimacy of a person sharing that kind of depth of pain. And, you know, I know for myself, I've had to unlearn the need to fix, especially when it comes to someone expressing, you know, here's what I'm saying, here's what I'm feeling. I immediately want to go towards a resolve to it. And many times it's not a resolve that's needed. It's simply a presence and being there. And probably one of the best videos I've ever seen on expressing empathy builds that connection. And at probably no time in my own life have I seen this more significantly than what we're experiencing right now. People need to be connected with, not minimized, not at leasted, but to feel understood. And even if we aren't going through the same thing, to be able to be with people. Being with is significant and very important. Living our best life, you know, we can often figure out what does this look like for us if we're supposed to be living for the glory of God and we're being kind to each other and compassionate towards each other and empathetic towards each other and forgiving like other people. How does this look? Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, often referred to as the golden rule. Jesus said, in everything you do, do what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. In order for us to find a starting place on how we can engage with people and what steps does it take for me to live my best life, it's to put myself in another person's shoes and to think, what would I be doing or what would I want someone to do to me if they were going through what I'm going through? And then to do those things. So rather than waiting for something just to kind of germinate or to spring up on its own, I think God invites us to take the initiative and recognize that whatever we would want other people to do for us, how we'd want them to treat us, how we'd want them to talk to or about us, how we'd want them to interact with us, take the opportunity at that moment to do this to and for them. It's interesting. This says, Because if you do this, this sums up the law and the prophets. During Jesus' time, the rabbis and other religious leaders were really looking for what's the most important of the 613 commandments. Which one do we need to do first? And they really just wanted a list to be able to perform. And what Jesus was inviting them to do was to throw away the list and to proactively take the initiative to start doing for others things that we know we would love if people would do for us. And it really, to sum up the law and the prophets, to say it's what to love God and to love each other actually looks like. So let's keep going. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 15. This is especially significant when it comes to our identifying with Christ and preparing ourselves to live for God's glory. Paul writes to the Colossians, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with one another and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful." Alan, will you come stand up here for a second? Yeah. I almost wore a jersey today for this very reason, and I thought, no, Alan will be there, and 50-50 chance he's going to be rocking his Angels jersey. He's rocking his Angels jersey. So when I see here, you can stay there for a second. Okay. Yeah. Just look good. Flex your muscles if you want to. Anyway, in Colossians 3, when it's talking about clothe yourself in the things of Christ, this is about allowing the things of God to be worked into our life. And Alan does not play for the Angels. In case you were wondering, you guys have a professional baseball player? No, but he's on the team. See, he's on the, turn around. See, he's promoting Michael Trout, who happens to be quite the baseball player. Yeah, but he's putting the jersey on because he identifies with the Angels as a team that he's the favorite of. For us, when we say, I want to be clothed with Christ, there's no Jesus jersey. You can imagine, everybody get your Jesus jersey and say, this is what it looks like. You know, right after church, come pick it up. Wear this. Yes, Jesus' number. Thank you very much. But the idea of clothing ourselves in Christ is to say, when I'm getting up, I'm going to wear this because I'm identifying with what this represents. And it's easy to go with an exterior because on the outside, it's like, see, look at this. I can remember there was a young man who had just turned 18 and he became a Christian and he wanted to show how much this really stuck for him. And so the next day he went and got a cross tattooed on his calf and it was like this big. And I said, why'd you do that? And he says, I just wanted to show how hardcore I am for Jesus. And I said, that's a way to show that you are doing something, but really, if you want to show how hardcore you are, why don't you could go and treat people with respect and care and love. He says, but I got a tattoo that has a cross. And it's like, yeah, and what's it cost you in your reaction with other people? Zero. And our faith has worked out in our relationship with other people. If I'm going to clothe myself with Christ to live my best life, it means I have to live like I'm alive with Christ, and my love for Christ is shown in how I love one another. We are no longer slaves to sin because of Christ. We have a choice and an alternative, as inconvenient as that may be, for us in how we will live. So Paul invites us, therefore, live this way like the life of Christ is in you because it is. You are clothed with compassion, with kindness, with humility, with gentleness, and with patience. And to top it all off, forgive one another like Christ forgives, put on love, let peace rule, and be thankful. That is a mouthful. That's a lot of clothes to put on. But it is a powerful, powerful declaration when we do this. Another Mr. Rogers quote, "Forgiveness is a strange thing. It can sometimes be easier to forgive our enemies than our friends. It can be hardest of all to forgive people we love. Like all of life's important coping skills, the ability to forgive and the capacity to let go of resentments most likely takes root very early in our lives. More than that, there is nothing that can withstand evil. There is nothing that makes an impact on evil like forgiveness does." Clothe ourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Forgive one another, put on love, let peace rule, be thankful. These are not easy things, but this is simple. The message of the gospel is a simple message, and our world is starving for people that are living for Jesus and showing that by the way that they love and care for other people. If we want our message of the cross to be heard and understood, it needs to be shown first. It needs to be lived out and experienced. Very rarely will this turn into an intellectual exercise where we can argue with another person to get them to come to our way of thinking. No, we let the Holy Spirit transform other people by the way that we care for and love them. And if they never, ever get transformed, we never get to see that, we still lived as an example of Christ in their lives. That's what God calls us to do. That is living our best life. That is soul friendship with God, with ourselves, and with each other. Let's bow our heads. Lord, I thank you for your word that's true, that never goes out void. And I would ask that you cause each of these scriptures to resonate deeply in our hearts and our souls. I pray that the areas where there is junk, Lord, that you would cause a cleansing and a transformation to happen in our souls. I pray, Lord, that you would cause your seeds of your word to go deep in the soil of our life, and that they would spring up. And even though it's not easy, we would embrace the simplicity of this gospel, that people we're coming in contact with would be able to testify of the compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience and peace and thanksgiving that they sense in their interactions with us. We just take a moment, Lord, and we set an intention. I want to be intentional to bring glory to you in my actions and my words. I don't want to be a Christian on Sundays and live like hell the rest of the week. I want to live to glorify you. And I want to be continually growing day by day to be transformed by you so that I can be a part of your solution. Thank you for the examples of people like Mr. Rogers. And as you hear this, I just want you to think about people who've been an example to you of what it looks like to be like Jesus. It can be hard at times to look at scripture and to think, what is this? How do I apply this? How do I live this? Usually we reflect upon an example, just like Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Think about those that have been working and have been this example for you and look to mimic that as they mimic Christ. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Once again, you thought we were done with this scripture, Psalm 139, it's still there. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Long before we started the Emotional Healthy Spirituality series, I prayed this prayer on a daily basis. And I hope that it's gotten stuck in your head and your heart as well. Because as we make this a part of our life to reflect and to dwell upon, we will see God do pretty incredible things as he will correct us. Just like Johannes did with that, it's your choice. For me to be able to recognize now, I don't even need to hear that little annoying German voice say that to me. Instead, I can just recognize I have a choice in how I'm going to be. And for those who know me well, they could say, wow, I can't imagine what you were like before. And it's like, yeah, it was really special. But to be in the spot where I am, my purpose and intention is to bring glory to God with how I live. And my goal is to invite us to partner in doing the same thing. As, you know, follow me as I follow Christ. And where I biff it, Bible says you have to forgive me too. So let's forgive each other and have grace for each other. And so, yes, Cassidy, we got anything fun today?
Well, I came up here. There wasn't really anything, but I come up thinking maybe something will pop up. But
what about you?
A couple Mr. Rogers fans out there.
Of course there are.
Yeah.
How about you? You got anything you want to throw out?
Nothing in particular to add came to me today.
All right. Will you pray for us as we wrap up?
Oh, sure.
Thanks.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for another week and a new year and a fresh start, new beginnings. And we're so excited to see what you're going to do, this new thing that you're doing. And as Alan said earlier, that he was seeing that breakthrough coming, God. So we just invite that breakthrough, whatever it is for people, whatever holes stopped up, God, that you would just bring that breakthrough for them in their life, Lord, this year. And God, just help us to go forward and live our best lives, Lord, living on purpose and with purpose for your glory, loving people, having compassion and empathy and forgiving and all of those things, God, just the fruit of your spirit, God, showing in our lives. We love you. We praise you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I got a picture as well. It's got to be 2002, 2003. And our dear friend Morris Chapman, musician and songwriter, was with us. And he sang a song called I Will Restore, and it's from the book of Joel. And talks about that which has been lost, that which has been stolen, that which has been taken. I will restore to you all of this and more. And it's a, I don't know if it's just for me. There's a lot that's been lost this year. No. Just sit on it for a sec. I will restore to you all of this and more. Jesus is at work on your behalf. And you don't have to do anything other than make yourself available for him to show up. He knows the pain. He knows the hurt. He knows that what has been lost. And he's not trying to get you to buck up and get your head focused on this. He's simply coming alongside in compassion. And he will restore. And so, Lord, we would receive that as well in whatever way you want to apply it to us. In Jesus' name. Amen. We will return to that song. Not today, but we'll return to that. So, happy first Sunday of 2021. Let's live our best life. Let's be kind and compassionate and humble and peaceful and thankful. Let's look for God's restoration, God's breakthrough. Let's be a part of being his love in the world. Right on? God bless you. Have a great rest of your day.
This has been a podcast presentation of Hillside Foursquare Church in Reno, Nevada. You can reach us via email at web@hillside4.org. That's W-E-B @hillside4.org.